candidate Donald Trump made a point of reaching out to Black Americans by pointing out a fact that many people have recognized for years: the Democrats take Blacks for granted. Trump said, "You're living in poverty, your schools are no good, you have no jobs, 58% of your youth is unemployed. What the hell do you have to lose?" Since his election, he reached out to Black youth, even holding a young Black leadership conference at the White House. And as a consequence, Black people have responded. The Black approval rating for the president ranges anywhere between 21 to 36%, depending on the poll. But what I found really interesting is a gap that's emerging between Black women and Black men. Nationally, the divide is seen in races such as Texas, where Ted Cruz got 17% of the Black male vote, and Brian Kemp of Georgia got 11% in his race against Stacey Abrams, who is an African-American, and she hopes to become Georgia's first Black governor, even though she is trailing in the polls and that race has not been called yet. 92% of Black women favor Democrats as opposed to 88% of Black men. What is going on? Black men and white women are taking some heat for supporting Republicans. In fact, Renee Graham, a columnist for the Boston Globe, wrote a post-election article titled, "Memo to Black Men, Stop Voting Republican."
It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
Joining me today to make sense of what is happening is George Farrell. George is the co-founder of Black PAC, an organization founded in 2015 to help elect conservative minority candidates. So help me to welcome George Farrell to the Be the People show on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. So welcome, George, to Be the People.
Thank you, Dr. Swain. You know, you're one of my heroes and mentors, and I really admire all the work that you've done and the books that you've worked, and all the heat that you take for being such a strong, independent-minded American.
Well, I would say that all Black conservatives take heat, and increasingly, it's not just Black conservatives, it's also Christians, it's white women that tend to vote Republican, that we all under the gun, but probably Black conservatives like us take more than our share of heat.
Yes, we do. And let me make it clear, this: the Black PAC is BLAKPAC.GOP, and our website is BLAKPAC.GOP, and Twitter is @RealBlackPAC.
Well, you get an opportunity to get that information again at the end of our show. But right now, can you tell me what you think is happening that is causing this divide between Black women and Black men?
I think there is a misinformation campaign, and you have to understand that when Republicans run for office, there's one team, we all unite. But the Democrats come after Black women, particularly with Planned Parenthood, with misinformation, saying that they're providing health care, which they're not. One of the major problems with Planned Parenthood is that they will allow a teenage girl, Black women, white women, whoever, to get an abortion without the parent's consent. But if you go to an eye doctor or any other doctor for a physical, that doctor will not examine you without your parent's consent. So one of the things we have to educate Black women to is that Planned Parenthood is allowing your daughters to go in secret and have procedures that other doctors aren't allowed to do, or they'll lose their license. And that's not medical care. That's murder of Black babies, Hispanic babies, all babies and all life is precious, not just Black Lives Matter, but all lives matter. And I think there's a miscommunication from our side on the Republican Party letting Black women know this so that we can increase those numbers.
Georgia,
Black men, on the other hand.
George, are you saying that Black men are more aware of Planned Parenthood's agenda than Black women?
I think Black men are more aware of the Planned Parenthood agenda, but Black men also tend to be more self-employed and are aware of the tax credits and the tax consequences of voting Republican, because they're voting for lower taxes and they're voting for the Second Amendment. Black men understand that. Black women don't understand that the Second Amendment is there to protect them, because they have to understand that, do you want to protect yourself with the Second Amendment and have the right to protect yourself, or do you want to wait 10 minutes on a police officer? Once you answer that question, what would you rather do, protect yourself or call 911 and wait 10 to 15 minutes? And if you're in a low-income neighborhood, maybe wait 20 minutes.
Or they may never show up.
So we're not communicating properly with Black women on the dangers of voting for a party that does not really represent them.
Well, I've heard the expression, when seconds count, the police are minutes away.
That's true. And if we're in a dangerous situation, we need to learn that the Second Amendment protects us as well as whites. It protects everybody. It protects all Americans. We're not getting that message through on the Republican Party side with the GOP. And we need to do a better job of saying, look, this is about your protection, your safety, about educating your children with school choice. And we're not getting that message out. I think Black men understand that message and want to get a better education and know that if they vote Republican, they can educate their children better. They'll have more opportunities for jobs under a Republican administration than they would under a Democratic administration.
Well, I mean, I find your ideas fascinating because I hadn't thought about Black men having a different perception about Planned Parenthood and being aware that, just the devastating impact it's had on the Black community. There are some cities, New York City is one, where there are more Black babies aborted that are being born alive, and this is happening across the country. And if Republicans were pushing Planned Parenthood and abortion, everyone would be up in arms. They would call it what it is, genocide.
It is genocide. And you understand that black teenagers or Latin teenagers are keeping this procedure secret from their parents. They're not having this discussion, which is one bad thing. But they've got to understand that this is a medical procedure. It's killing a baby. It's killing a life. And I think Black women are being educated that this is health care. And it's not health care. It's murder. It's not health care. Black men are more aware that this is murder and are more aware that they shouldn't vote for unlimited abortion on children.
Well, do you think that this awareness among Black men, that it cuts across social class as far as education and income, or do you think it's more upper class or middle class Black men that are able to make these distinctions?
I just spent a lot of time with a lot of inmates that voted for restoration of rights in Florida. And one thing that surprised me about these young Black men is they actually follow Roger Stone because they're conspiracy theorists. I didn't understand that because they questioned me about Roger Stone. And I'm talking to a group of young Black men all under 25, and they all knew who Roger Stone was.
Well, what I find interesting is that the political left uses the conspiracy theorist label to silence conservatives. And I happen to believe that when we're on to something, when we get too close to the truth, then you're called a conspiracy theorist often.
That's true. And young Black men believe in conspiracy theory. They actually believe that there's this master plan to keep them from getting an education, getting a job. And that's why they're more likely to be against Planned Parenthood, because they buy into the conspiracy theories that Planned Parenthood is murdering their babies, and they think that's wrong.
Well, I gave a talk recently to some young people in Washington, and one of the questions I got from a student was that she is often told that abortion is better than having children born into poor families where they can't be taken care of. And so they actually present it to minorities and of all races as this will help you because you really can't afford another child. Your child is better off not being born than being born in poverty.
Well, look, and here's where we have to do a better job. Look, Jay-Z was born into poverty. Kanye West was born into poverty. Look how their life turned out. LeBron James, all these famous athletes and entertainers, they're all born into poverty. We don't know how people are going to end up. We can't predict that.
I know, and Carol Swain was born into poverty.
Yes. So to say, hey, it's better off for you to kill this unborn baby, that makes no sense because we don't know what the future holds. And that's another argument we have to make to black women. And Planned Parenthood is making the argument that, oh, it's going to ruin your life. You won't finish college. Of course, you finish college with multiple degrees. So it's a bad argument that we have to refute. And the athletes and entertainers that are making millions and millions of dollars, what if they weren't born?
Well, we need really drive that home. And think about Dr. Ben Carson. You know, his mother had a third-grade education. And so he's another one that was born in poverty. And it's not just black people. It's plenty of white people that were born in poverty and were able, some of them are multimillionaires now because they learned how to survive.
Yeah, especially in Arkansas. A lot of whites were born into poverty. As a matter of fact, Arkansas had communities where the whites were poorer than blacks.
And there's still places like that, you know, like in East Tennessee, and there are parts of Kentucky and Ohio where you have generational poverty among whites. And, you know, they didn't get those affirmative action benefits, nor were they positioned to take advantage of them. And so they are in generational poverty that we used to just associate with racial and ethnic minorities.
Yes, and guess what? They got a chance to live. They're not getting abortions. We really have a fight against Planned Parenthood and eugenics. And Planned Parenthood, I don't know how they do it. They spend $6 million in the Georgia race. They spent $3 million in Virginia. They spent $4 or $5 million in Florida getting people out to the polls and doing what they call is voter education. But they're spending our tax dollars to fight for the right to have abortion and to have states pay for abortion and federal dollars pay for abortion.
You're right.
That's one of the things we have to fight against with Planned Parenthood. They have a political action committee, an illegal political action committee, almost like the NAACP is supposed to be nonpartisan, but it's not. So you have these other groups on the Democratic side, which are operating illegal political action committees, like the NAACP and Planned Parenthood, that needs to be stopped. We need to actually go after Planned Parenthood and the NAACP for operating these biased operations under a 501c3.
And it's something, you know, that Evita King, you know, has taken a leadership role on, but there are others in the black community. I think the black community is becoming quite aware of what's happening. And this may be our moment to educate each other, but also to make it known to the powers that be that no more will we just be silent where our population is decimated through governmental policy.
No. In the NAACP, let me say this, they don't support black people anymore. They don't support school choice. They support abortion. You know, they're cheerleaders for Planned Parenthood because they get a check from Planned Parenthood.
But they
these organizations don't write, don't represent blacks anymore.
That's right, and they took on the LGBT issue. I think Julian Bond opened the door for that. And so they have moved away from any roots that had to do with black folks.
Not only that, they represent, the NAACP again, represents a pro-immigration, open-border stance. And black folks are starting to understand that if you bring more people here illegally, it brings resources away from our schools because those schools will turn into, now they have to teach English as a second language, which will take resources away from black students in low-income neighborhoods. Black people are starting to understand that and were really, really against, mostly against this caravan coming in from Mexico because they saw 4,000 or 5,000 people that we're going to get Social Security benefits, jobs, opportunities that they're not getting. They're not getting the SBA loans. We just had a $20 million bust of foreign store owners that own these stores in low-income neighborhoods that were committing food stamp fraud, because they were getting people on food stamps, swiping their card for $200 and giving them $50 in return. $20 million. And all the store owners were not born in America.
Well, George, we're going to have to take a break. And when I return from the break, I'd like for you to talk about some of those black candidates that ran for office in the midterm elections, as well as the races in Florida and Georgia where a winner has not been declared.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. There are speakers, and then there are great speakers who know the importance of creating that memorable moment. Well, the key to any successful event is an informative and inspirational speaker. Professor Dr. Carol Swain is that gifted speaker. She delivers passionately from the heart every time. To find out more about booking Carol for your next great event, simply go to carolmswain.com. Click on Public Speaking, and then click the blue Book Carol tab.
I'm back with George Farrell. George is the founder of Black Pack. He's a conservative activist, and we're about to talk about the midterm elections. There were a number of black candidates that were running for office, and there are a couple of races that are still undecided. So, George, what's your first, fill us in about who was running for office and what happened very quickly, and then about these races that are undecided. I believe that when the decisions are made, if they're not favorable to the blacks, which it looks like it will not be because they're trailing, that the Democrats will use that to beat up Republicans and continue calling them racist.
That's true. Well, in Florida, we had four candidates that Black Pack supported. Mike Hill in the Panhandle, Byron Donalds in Sarasota, Brian Mass, who's Mexican, in the Palm Beach area, the old Allen West seat, and a Greek candidate by the name of Gus Bilirakis. All of the candidates that we openly supported won by 9 points or more because we did an inclusive campaign that included minorities and everyone else to get out the vote. What we're having in Florida is a recount for the governor's race, the U.S. Senate race, and the agriculture commissioner of agriculture. Those races are too close to call. They're going to end up, they're already doing a recount on those. And the problem that we're having is that Broward County, where all the problems were, has not even started their recount. So they won't finish by Thursday. A second county, Manatee County, has just restarted again because they misprogrammed the machine. So we have a lot of issues in Florida with getting the recount done and done on time.
Well, Palm Beach County is also one of those counties that apparently people have evidence to suspect voter fraud.
Yes, because they're finding ballots that weren't turned in on time, or they were hidden in closets or hidden in rooms, and ballots are popping up all over the place in South Florida in the grocery stores, in the freezers. So we've got a real problem here. And it's something that should have been dealt with 4 years ago. And if we had dealt with it 4 years ago before it became a crisis, we wouldn't be into this recount. And the other thing that the Republican Party, GOP, should have done 4 years ago was engage more minority voters. That would have prevented all this recount issue. So we have recounts in Florida and Georgia.
Are you sure that it would have prevented the recount? Because it seems to me that what I'm hearing that the supervisor, Brenda Snipes, and I can't remember the other lady from Palm Beach County, but they have been involved in election irregularities for years.
Yes, they have. Brenda Snipes has a problem every election season. There was candidates that have been left off the ballot in previous elections. They didn't even show up on the ballots. When people went to vote for their campaigns, they weren't in the right districts or the wrong districts. This has been a problem that's been going on for years with Ms. Snipes. It's nothing new, and that's why I said it should have been dealt with the last time it happened, and it wasn't. And now we have the issue where she's actually pretty grossly incompetent is what it comes down to.
And that has been known for a while.
Yeah, it's been known for over 6 years. There have been instances where ballots were printed. There was one election where she did not print enough ballots.
And for people that don't know, Brenda Snipes happens to be a elderly black woman. How much is race been a factor in insulating her from accountability?
I think it's a major factor. She is the only black elections official in the state of Florida.
Oh.
And it's an elected position, and no one wanted to bother her because she was the only black. But, again, she never went to the seminars that updated her on technology, or she kind of ran her own show the way she wanted to, and she was left alone, allowing to fester in her incompetence because no one wanted to criticize her.
My concern about these elections in Florida and Georgia is that it looks like the black candidates are about to lose. And I am certain, I see the narrative already being set in the fact that Gillums, who conceded the election and gave a very inspirational concession speech, then he retracted his concession. And with Stacey Abrams, she has not even conceded the race, even though the Republicans argue that it's mathematically impossible for her to win at this point.
In Georgia, it is mathematically impossible for her to win. The issue is, and I was looking at the data in Georgia, is that there's about 60,000 undervotes in the Secretary of Election, 60 to 80,000 undervotes. So 60 to 80,000 people who voted for governor did not vote for Secretary of State. That race is going to a runoff on December 4th. There is no undervote in the governor's race, and Stacey Abrams needs to concede so Georgia can move on. In Florida, you have the governor's race, the Commissioner of Agriculture, and the U.S. Senate race with Rick Scott. Those races are too close to call, mainly because of incompetence in Broward County, where ballots are still being found, and they haven't started to recount. And they just did another recount in Manatee County. In Manatee County, someone didn't program the machine correctly. So those ballots are being recounted. Apparently, we have some issues in Florida, and hopefully we don't have to go to a runoff election to get these decisions made, and we can move forward with our government.
Well, it seems like all across the country that they have different systems of voting, and in some places they have outdated equipment. And until we take a national approach to upgrading the equipment, I think we're going to continually have problems and also opportunities for people to steal votes. And the data that I've looked at suggests that there are non-citizens voting, and in some places where felons are not allowed to vote, that they have been allowed to vote, and it's a problem.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, it's amazing because you have to show your ID for everything to get on a plane. You need to have a driver's license. And right now we have states where you can vote without showing any ID.
Yeah, utility bill.
So we don't know
bill.
Who's voting.
That's right.
Yeah, utility bill.
That's right.
And actually, with online billing, who carries around a utility bill? So that's something else that we have to look at with our voting system. We do need a national voter ID law, maybe even a card where we can vote. And we know our vote counts, and votes should only come from U.S. citizens who have pledged allegiance to this country. They shouldn't come from people who haven't pledged allegiance to this country.
I agree. And George, in the remaining time, just fill us in on what you think needs to be done to help elect more minority candidates, whether they're black, Hispanic, or Asian, in the Republican Party.
The Republican Party needs to come up with a message. It's not a message about the candidate. It's a message about what we stand for. We're pro-life, we're pro-Second Amendment, and we're pro-school choice. I think those three cover most Republicans or independents that lean Republican. Right now, we've been concentrating on who the candidate is. We have 2 years, 24 months, to get our message out before 2020, before President Trump is on the ballot again, that we're the party that stands for business growth, we stand for low taxes, we stand for great schools, and under just the last 24 months with President Trump, blacks have the lowest unemployment rate in history. That alone should get him the minority vote. But it's also about less taxes and more freedom. If we can push that message in the next 24 months, it doesn't matter if you're black, you're Latin, you're Asian, that's a message that people agree with.
Whenever I share the message about the black unemployment rate to black people, they immediately say, well, Barack Obama started it. And so they give credit to Obama as opposed to President Trump. And one of the problems is if you listen to the mainstream media, they never talk about the Trump accomplishments.
No, they never talk about the lower taxes. They never talk about the job growth. They don't talk about the regulations that he's eliminated that allowed the job growth and the opportunity to grow. We now have a million more jobs openings than we have people to fill them. That has never happened before. So these are things that did not happen under Obama. We went so far backwards under Obama. We had higher interest rates, which stopped growth. The Justice Department giving a pass to companies like Bank of America to steal your credit or Wells Fargo, and nobody was prosecuted for the crash, the crash that took away millions of dollars in value and in income from black families. Because there was a crash under Obama, and that crash was not solved under Obama. That crash is being solved by Trump, and we're seeing our home values go back up, we're seeing our real estate values go back up, and we're earning more money and paying less taxes than ever before. That has nothing to do with President Obama.
Do you see in the foreseeable future the Republican Party being able to get 15 to 20% of the black vote in national elections?
I think we're at 12% now. If we can deliver this message to black females and black men, we will get 20 to 25% of the black vote in 2020. But it's got to start now. It can't come 2 months before the election in 2020. It can't start in August. It can't start in the summer. We have to start now. We have to have people who speak well for the Republican Party like you and Jennifer Carroll, Aisha Ombe, Lucretia Hughes. All these folks need to be out there, and we need to promote them and support them and make sure that the message gets out to all across the country. We can't just sing to the choir. We have to expand the choir.
Now, in the last few minutes, would you tell our listeners how they can get in contact with you?
Yes. My organization is called Black Pack. It's BLACPAC.GOP. You can go to our website, and you can leave your information at our website. We'll be back in contact with you. We operate mainly out of Washington, D.C., and we've been doing a lot of time in Florida because of the recount. You can also get to us on Twitter at REALBLAKPAC at Real Black Pack. We're also on Instagram at Black Pack. And you can email me personally if you have any questions, gtfarrell@msn.com. And again, the website is www.blakpac.gop.
Thank you so much, George, for spending part of your time with us today.
I appreciate you so much, and you do a fabulous job. I know you're going to reach millions and millions of more people over the next 24 months as we expand this party, and you're going to play a big role in that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So we have been talking with George Farrell of Black Pack, and the information that he's provided about the differences between black men and black women, how we need to educate people about conservative values and principles, I think he's spot on. And each of us, regardless of our race or nationality, we can play a role in educating minority voters about the great benefits that come from conservatism and from Republican candidates that are more likely to be conservative. They're not always conservative, they're more likely to be. And until next time, remember that we the people can be the people who will change our nation and ultimately the world.